passages of scripture. I want to take you to Galatians, the third chapter. And then I want to take you to Genesis 15. Galatians 3. And then I'll take you to Genesis 15. While you're finding your scripture, I was just informed that we had an incident with our envelopes this morning. And so they passed all white envelopes to you. First and foremost, let me apologize. That is not indicative of how we operate in this church. It's just a mistake. In no way, shape, or form would I want you to write on a blank envelope without having a space for all of your information. That's typically how we operate. So my apologies for me and my staff. And so, if this is your first time here and you're visiting, especially, I want to make sure that you get the accurate credit for whatever it is you gave if you use one of those blank envelopes. It's very important to me as a pastor that we do things in decency and in order of excellence. And so I just wanted to apologize to you personally if that's going to be a distraction from you receiving this word. It's very important. It's very important. And I don't want anything to come in between you and this word. So if you can put that aside for a second, we ain't that bad. We hood, but we ain't that hood. We're not that hood. So I apologize for that. So I want to go to the word of the Lord, Genesis 15, Galatians 3. If it's all right, let's start in the New Testament. Because I'm on this thing, God has me on this thing where he's taking me through the word of God, showing me how he's been working on things for a long time. And often, I can't get out of it. I preached about it last Sunday. Normally, if I preach about something, it's over, it's done. But this thing has just been messing with me that we don't understand how God views the future. And so we believe our future is out in front of us, but God sees our future as in us. I don't want to go there. But God sees our future as in us because that's where he put it. Everything God created, he put its future on the inside of it. So the potential of a seed is on the inside. So its future is in it, not out of it. That means regardless of what's out ahead of you, it's not your future. God, Lord have mercy. So you're carrying around what God has already finished. Because God never starts something without finishing it first. He declares the end from the beginning, and then he starts. So here in our text this morning, we are diving into an argument between the Apostle Paul and a church in Galatia. The church in Galatia has gone back, reverted back to a past mindset that is derailing the future that God put on the inside of them. And so Paul opens up Galatians 3 with this question, who has bewitched you? And he called them foolish, harsh words. He said, you're being foolish. And he explains to them why they're being foolish. Because what they're saying, I'm just laying the premise, I'm just laying the foundation for you before I read the text I want to read so that you have the context. And so what he says to them is, the reason you're being foolish is because you're trying to make Christians be Christians and Jews at the same time. In other words, you're suggesting that your salvation requires performance. So I cannot just be Christian now because I'm also culturally Jewish. I have to adhere to the rituals and the traditions and the dietary restrictions and the laws of the Jewish custom and culture. And so this was a huge problem that Paul was trying to address. And he's saying to them that, wait a second, your future was here before you got here because it was in you, but you're dragging a past concept into your future because you don't understand why God gave you the law in the first place. The reason he gave you those restrictions is so that you can understand why you needed him. Because the law itself was a curse. It was a curse because you couldn't keep it. No human being could live up to those standards that was in the law. And that was the point. God gave them the law. He gave Israel the law, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. A bunch of don't do's. And he gave them all the don't do's so that they can realize they did not have the power not to do it. I'm helping you more than you know. And so he tells them then that the reason why they're being foolish is because everything that God wanted to be purposed in your life in relationship with him was going to come through Jesus Christ. And so he says here in Galatians 3, he tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, are you here? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And he says this so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Touch your name and say, they talk about us now. Unless you're Jewish. If you're Jewish, okay. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He adds, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man can disannul or add thereto. And he tells them who the promise was given to. Now to Abraham and his seed, not seeds, not plural, singular, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said, and not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should be made the promise of none effect. Now let's go to Genesis. Let's go back those 400 some odd years that they're talking about. In Genesis 15, God gives a promise to Abraham. Abraham is in his tent, and God gives him a promise in his tent. This is important. Abraham's tent represents Abraham's future, because Abraham is a descendant of his father. And so God comes to Abraham and says, leave your father's country. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Walk away from your father's country. This was the insanity of obedience. God is asking him to walk away from every natural inheritance he's about to receive. To walk away from my father's country means I am no longer legally able to receive my father's inheritance. And to walk away from that means I have nothing but you, God. And God says, if you will walk away, I will bless you. It's so great, I'll make your name great. I'll do all these things for you. And I'll do all these things. So he leaves. Now he's in his tent because that's all he knows. They're nomadic people. They go from place to place and set up their tent, and he's in his tent. And God says, come on outside your tent, because what I have to show you is going to require you to take the ceiling off.
Amen.
You can't see what I'm talking about because all you can see is the ceiling of your tent. That's all you know. That is the basis of your perspective. But come outside and look up. See if you can count the stars that are in the heavens. That's how I'm going to bless you. And as God and Abraham are having this conversation, Abraham gets cute. I like it because I probably would have did the same thing. Abraham says to the Lord, he says in Genesis 15, verse 8, he says, how am I going to know? How shall I know? How, oh God, shall I know that I will inherit it? That's a really good question. How will I know that I'm going to get everything that you said? Verse 9, here's what God tells him. He says, okay, since you want to know, here's what you want to do. He said, bring me 3-year-old heifer, give me a 3-year-old female goat, give me a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. That sounds crazy. Go give me all those things. And then he gives them an instruction. He tells them, what I want you to do is I want you to bring it to me, cut them in 2 pieces right down the middle, and place each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. He didn't even do everything God asked him to do. I'm pausing for effect. That was a pregnant pause. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He didn't even do everything God asked him to do. But he did not cut the birds in two. Verse 14 says this. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, also, and come on, y'all. Go back. This is where I am. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And behold, a horror and a great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, God, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a strange land. That is not theirs. And I will serve them. And they're going to go through this process. But once they go through the process, I'm going to bless them. Verse 14, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them. They shall come out with great possessions. I only read all of that so that you can have the proper context of what I'm about to say. For the next few moments, if you allow me, I want to preach this word to you called the curse word. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for what you have purposed to do in this room. You sent me on assignment today, and already everything's been trying to fight us, which is a prophetic indication that you want to do something in this place. So, Father, have your way. Speak to us a word that's going to change us. Cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive this word, anoint every ear. Devil, you know you already lost. And you're about to lose again. Have your way. In
Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a curse breaker. You're a curse breaker. You need to see that in the presence of the Lord. I think quickly I can get you to where I want to go because I've laid the foundation for us to begin to understand what God is up to here. It is the Apostle Paul that's coming to the church in Galatia, which is really, really a very important spot in our Christian theology to understand what salvation and the gospel is all about. And what Paul is trying to convey, he opens up in Galatians 1 and he's talking to them about the uniqueness of the gospel. The reason why he's making this the base of his foundation, or the base of his argument, the foundation of his argument, is because everything is built in our Christian walk on the gospel. The gospel will suggest to us that it is not a suggestion, but that it is news. The gospel means good news. Good news means that something has been won for you or on your behalf. Whenever good news was being spread or traveled, it was being done by a herald, a messenger, who had to ride throughout the area or the geographical territory to tell everybody something has been accomplished on their behalf. So, for instance, if there was a war that was breaking out, the herald's job was to go and at God's speed deliver the message. Gospel, and deliver the message to let everybody know that something has been won, or that the war is over, or we got the victory. And they had to tell them because there were no other modes of communication, which meant that you could still be fighting something that was over. So until the message got there, you were not aware that you no longer had to fight. You were still in your bunker. You were still in the ambush. You were still in your fatigues. You were still with your weaponry, waiting for your instructions or your next tactical instructions to go and do whatever it is that you were supposed to do on your assignment. But until the messenger came and said, you ain't got to do that no more because we got the victory. Drop your spear, drop your bow, drop your sword. Let's go celebrate because the victory has been won on our behalf. It's amazing to me that still today, with all of the information that we got on Google and all of the places that we can be informed, we don't have the revelation that some things we just don't have to fight anymore, because a victory has already been won for you. That victory has been won for you through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross on your behalf, so that you don't have to fight perfection anymore. In other words, he died so that he can wrap up God's eternal purpose on the inside of him, so that when God sees you, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He does not see your failure. He does not see your mistakes. He does not see your setbacks. He does not see your wickedness. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever our adversary, if we are Christians, try to bring back up our past to us, there is no record in heaven about what you did in your past, because the Bible says it is blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at your name and say, why are you still fighting? Why are you still fighting? You're still fighting the sins of your father, and you're still fighting your past history, and you're still fighting your little idiosyncrasies that make you feel bad about your imperfections. But that's why the Bible says you gotta get up and work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That means you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to be altogether right, but you can be altogether righteous through Jesus Christ. Now y'all gonna see in that house, you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you are blood bought and blood washed, you ought to be shouting at the top of your where the prophet had to come and tell them, listen, if you believe the Lord, you're going to prosper. If you believe the Lord, you're going to be established. If you believe his prophet, so shall you prosper, because the prophet came and said, this battle, you ain't got to fight. God's going to get up and fight for you. When you begin to open your mouth and praise the Lord, God's going to send an ambushment through your praise over your enemy. Some stuff you don't even have to fight with. Salvation. So now our salvation is a pursuit to seek perfection. It is impossible for you to be perfect. And so now we judge on the basis of what we believe to be perfect, flawless, and so we've gotten to this place in our walk with the Lord where it's based on our performance. And so and when we do good, we want God to bless us. And I made it to church, so God, you need to go and turn that situation around, because I came once. This morning at all. I came one time to the house of God, and because I came one time to the house of God, everything in my life just totally turned around. It don't work like that, man. Salvation means that I have been preserved, made well, kept safe. It is the Greek word sozo. The very basis of the word means preservation, and you have to ask yourself the question, preserved for what? To be preserved means to be kept from spoiling. So when I am saved, when I come to Christ and I say, come into my life, he preserves me. So my spirit then becomes regenerated, and my soul has to be renewed constantly, because my salvation doesn't take away my personality. I'm still me. But now my spirit has been regenerated. Why? Because now I have his spirit so that I can become a curse breaker. Because without his spirit, I can't break the curse. The curse is not some hex. It's not some voodoo. Chicken foot, somebody throwing something on y'all, they said nothing. Throwing something on you. It's not some incantation. It's not some smoke of ash. It's not something that somebody puts on you that suggests that you are cursed or fought, or everything in your life is going to fall into the ground and become of ashes. That's not what the word curse is talking about. The word curse means divine rejection. When you are cursed, it's saying that God has nothing to do with your life. He is set apart from you, and you are out here by yourself and all on your own, and every decision you make and everything that happens in your life, you're all by yourself. God has nothing to do with it, because he has rejected you completely, and he will not show up in your life to help you at all, no matter what you say, because you are cursed. That's what the word curse means. It doesn't mean that somebody on the outside said something about you or prayed about you or put some hex on you. While I'm on the subject, stop turning prayers into prayers of hexes and curses on people that you don't like. Nobody said nothing. And try to use God to get rid of folk that you're having difficulties with. Spiritual maturity implies that I can be saved, love you. Nobody said nothing. That's foolishness. All right, I'm sorry. So stop praying, God, get a prayer. Stop it. God, get my boss. Get him. Just don't kill him. Just get him. Just stop. Love God. I'm not asking you to perform, but I'm I'm asking you to trust. And because you don't do it, that means you don't trust me. And because you don't trust me, that means you're not operating in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And so you've taken matters into your own hands. And when you take matters into your own hands, I can't intervene because I gave you free will and authority to make the choice. So because you want to play God, I can't do it for you. So I don't sit back over here and let you take a stab at it. This curse thing, because he's saying, I will not get involved in something that you don't want me involved in. And when you start making up the rules that I never made up, you create a standard that makes the gospel a different gospel. And that's what Paul says. Paul tells the church at Galatia, you're making the gospel a different gospel. Because the apostles of Galatia were saying to people that you needed Christ, but you also needed this tradition and this ritual and these laws. And you got to walk like we walk, and you got to talk like we walk, and you got to act like we act, and you got to do all the things that we do. And all the things they were asking people to do, nobody could do it. And so they made themselves elite in their doing, but not in their being. And so now they created a culture of I'm not good enough. Stay with me. And because of the culture of I'm not good enough, Christians were walking away from Christianity. If you place that on the 21st century today, someone created a culture of I'm not good enough. Right now on your roll, I'm about to set it off in here. Right now on your roll, let there be somebody who don't look like you, talk like you, act like you, walk like you. Let them have one piercing too many. Let them have a piece of hair color that's out of control. Let them have too many tasks that you ain't comfortable with. Y'all ain't said nothing. And you went, I don't know if I want to really worship with you. But you have to understand that your self-righteousness and perhaps their unrighteousness is all unrighteousness, but it doesn't come from the righteousness of God. Simon is saying, y'all jacked up up in here. And your jacked up is no greater than my jacked up. My jacked up is no greater than your jacked up. We just all jacked up.
So he goes back to Abraham in his argument, and he pulls up Genesis 15, and he says to them, wait a second, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He didn't say Abraham believed in God. He said Abraham believed God. James tells us that the devil believes in God. So it's not that I believe in him, it's that I believe him. That when he tells me he's about to bless my seed and he's about to open a door and he's about to do a thing, I have to believe him. Oh, I'm working on something up in here. And the ability for me to believe him determines if I'm going to become a curse breaker. Oh, God. Abraham became a curse breaker. Lord Jesus, have mercy. As a matter of fact, if I want to be real astute and make my argument in the text, Paul argues that he brings Titus with him to Jerusalem to make a point at the Jerusalem meeting because Titus was a Gentile. Oh, God. And that he wanted to see if the apostles at the Jerusalem council meeting would accept Titus because Titus was not Jewish, meaning he wasn't circumcised. Which states that if you're not circumcised, you can't even come into the synagogue. You can't even come into the church. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shout it. Flip that on the 21st century. We're waiting for everybody to get their act together and then say, come to church. No, 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 no. Come busted. Come disgusted. Come jacked up. Come high if you have to. Come as a hooker if you must. Come as a divorcee. Come at. And God will still turn your life. Am I preaching to anybody in here? So that was free. Sorry, that was. So he pulls his argument from history, and he says to them, look at Abraham, and he pulls up Genesis 15. So now when we enter into Genesis 15, we understand what it takes to become a curse breaker. I got to believe God. Oh, I got to believe that God can pull me out of my family's history and do something in my life so profound that it breaks the curse forever. So that through my life, my family is going to know that I knew God and I believe God. And the same God yesterday is the same God today and forevermore. Slap your neighbor high if I'm saying I'm about to be a curse breaker. High blood pressure might have ran through my family, but I'm about to be a curse breaker. Poverty might have ran through my family, but I'm about to be a curse breaker. Addiction might have ran through my family, but I'm about to be a curse breaker. Divorce might have ran through my family, but I'm about to be a curse breaker. Disease might have ran through my family, but right here, right now, I'm about to believe God and become a curse breaker. Slap your neighbor high five and say you're looking at a curse breaker. I'm almost there. We're almost right there. So watch this now. God comes to Abraham and he says, you're going to be a curse breaker by a covenant promise. So the way I can break the curse is to rely on the promise. But the promise is not just a promise, it's by covenant. And so God says to Abraham, when Abraham says, that sounds good, preacher, that I'm going to be a curse breaker, but right now I got some things in my life that don't suggest that no curses is broken. And I need to know how all this is going to happen. How am I going to inherit any of this? Given my current state of circumstances, given the fact I just went through divorce, given the fact I just lost my job, given the fact I ain't got no money in the bank, I'm in here looking cute, but I'm broke, given the fact that things aren't going the way that I want them to go, how am I going to inherit any of it? I done praised you. I done prayed. I done ran. I done shouted. I done dropped my $100 on the altar. I done prophesied. I done went to the prophesying conference. I done stepped out in faith. I have done all to stand. How am I going to inherit? Because I done already left everything. And I'm out here and I'm having a hard time, God, believing right now that any of this can be possible. And so when I start believing that it's not possible, I start trying to perform, taking matters into my own hands. And so God says, listen, you want something to do? I'll give you something to do. Go get me a couple turtle doves and go get me a goat and go go get me some birds and go get me all these animals and I want you to cut them in two. What God was saying to Abraham is, we about to cut a covenant. Culturally, Abraham understood this, that when families cut covenant, they would take an animal, they would cut it in two, which would make the blood covenant, and they would lay the pieces on one side of the other, halved, and then they would walk through the pieces together to say, if I break my promise, let me end up like these animals and let my life be ripped in two. In other words, if I break the covenant, let me become a curse. Let everything in my life fall apart. And so God tells Abraham, let's do this. Let's make a covenant one with the other. I want you to take the animals. I want you to cut them up into pieces. But the Bible says he didn't even cut the birds up. So God says, you want to do something, do it. And he couldn't even do that. Which makes it worse is that Abraham falls asleep. The Bible says he fell into a deep sleep. Oh, God. And when he fell into a deep sleep, the Bible says that some smoke came and thunder and walked through the pieces. In order for the covenant to be agreed upon, both parties had to walk through the pieces. But Abraham was asleep, which means while he was asleep, didn't do what he was supposed to do, God's spirit walked through the pieces. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing. And said, I'll make the covenant with myself. And you ain't got to perform nothing. If you would just believe me, I'll make you a curse. Oh, slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is about to walk through it himself. This is a covenant that God made with himself. God, who am I preaching to up in here? You ain't got to do nothing but just believe. Let's make the devil mad and find five people and say, I believe God. I believe God. Touch them until you get filled with power and say, I believe God. I don't care what God is saying about my life right now. I believe that I can be healed. I believe that I can be blessed. I believe that I can be saved. I believe that I can be set free. I believe that I can be delivered. I believe that I'm the head and not the tail. I believe I'm above and not beneath. I believe. Clap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm about to flip the switch. The devil fought me all my life because he knew I was going to believe God. I'm a curse breaker. And when God breaks the curse over my life, it's broke over my kids. It's broke over my kids' kids. Abraham is sleeping. You might as well stay standing because I'm done. Abraham is sleeping. And God is walking through the covenant while he's asleep. Because God said, I'll make a covenant with me. Because if I make a covenant with you, you can't keep your end of the bargain. You're not even going to do what I asked you to do in the first place. But I'm so bent on blessing you that I'll just walk through it by myself. So that every time I see myself, I see a curse breaker. That's why you gotta understand the power of Christ on the inside of you. That every time God sees you, he sees a curse breaker. So you are a curse breaker. God, like Abraham, made you a curse breaker. For the Bible says the promise was to Abraham and to his seed. His seed was speaking of Christ. And because we are Christ, we are heirs and joint heirs of the same promise. So because I got Christ, I got the power to be a curse breaker. Slap slap your neighbor a high five and say, no devil in hell can stop what's about to break loose in my life. God is about to break something loose in my life. Oh, I wish I had half a church in here. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For curse is every person that hangs on a tree. So when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, I'm going to become the curse, but you're going to become the breaker. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. I'll take care of the curse part. But if you would believe me, you can take care of the breaking part. Oh, slap somebody a high five and say, God took care of the curse. I'm about to take care of the breaking. When I open my mouth and give God glory, something is about to. Open up your mouth and give God praise. Open up your mouth and break a generational curse. Listen, when God gave me this message, I shared on IG Live. I didn't know. I'm learning, y'all, but I didn't know Instagram Live takes a lot of juice out your phone. So you got to, like, have good Wi-Fi. And you got to have it charged up. So I'm just on IG Live just to talk. And I was sharing that I thought I had something called an almost anointing. I get to the door, you know, of a big breakthrough, and then something happens. And I go, almost? And that was kind of the story of my life. D1 ball player, almost? Corporate business guy, almost. Mega church pastor, almost. My mouth. Preach, preacher. Y'all didn't hear, my mama said, not yet. The first time I took a text and opened the Bible to preach was in Los Angeles Coliseum with Ferris and Joseph Jennings, 25,000 gang members. It's the first time I ever preached the Word of God, a message. Do you understand what I'm saying? And my life looked different from that, and everything changed, and nothing was like it was supposed to be, almost. And that feeling of almost start making me take control of my life. When God was building me to be a curse breaker, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. And I had to yield myself to him and say, God, I believe you. That you can take a boy from Park Heights, Baltimore, who, you know, don't come from this, you know, from a whole lot, and two wonderful parents who love God, and the greatest inheritance they gave me was a spiritual one. It's the greatest inheritance I ever got in my life. Because they taught me how to believe God. And if you would just believe God, he says, I took care of the curse because I became it for you. You got to do the breaking. Oh, God. That means you got to determine to believe me. And if you'll do it, it'll change your entire bloodline. And he can do it through you. Right now. He can do it through you. He can do it through you if you would just believe him. Look at your name and say, I believe God. I believe God with everything I got. I believe God. God will raise you up to be a blessing to your generation. He'll raise you up to be a blessing. Ah, promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. And I hear God saying, like Abraham, he's looking for some folk to come out their tent. He's looking for some folk to say, I'll leave my father's country. He's looking for some people to say, God, here am I, send me. Are you one of those people? Curse is about to be broken. You are a breaker. You have the spirit of the breaker on the inside of you. Lift those hands all over this room. Father, I thank you. Somebody in this room dealing with a reality, God, that will suggest nothing's being broken. But right now, as they lift their hand and their voice to say, God, I believe you. You can make them a curse breaker. For Christ resides on the inside of them. And if he does not, Father, let the hand be lifted to say, come into my heart, Lord. Change me forever. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You can open your mouth and pray that prayer right now. And the Spirit of the living God will come into your life and regenerate you forever. God wants to put power on your life to break every generational tie, every generational curse. Every negative proclivity that runs through your DNA, he wants to flip the switch and give you power. Give you power. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're not just like your daddy. You're like your spiritual daddy. You're like your father. You're like your heavenly father. I don't know who I'm talking to, but healing is in the room right now. For words that were spoken over your life that would suggest that you ain't never gonna be nothing. The devil is a liar. You're not your mistakes. You're not your failures. You might have failed, but you are not a failure. You might have messed up, but you're not a mess up. You're not your history. You are what God created you to be. Oh, God. And I pray right now that every negative word spoken over your life that sits in the secret places of your heart, that you are too prideful to tell anybody about, but you're angry and you're mad and you're confused and you want to serve God and you want to have a relationship and you know you should do it, but you just keep letting words hold you back and people's opinions about who they thought you were. Yeah. It's always the people closest to you that really fail to see your potential at times. And so I break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let the Holy Spirit work. I break that off of you. 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 I break that off of you by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I came in this room this morning, to break that curse off of you. You are not rejected. God loves you. He is not mad with you. He wants to empower you. He wants to use you. I build you up in the spirit this morning. And I say to the devil, sticks and stones, sir, sticks and stones, sticks and stones. Your words can't hurt us. Your words can't hurt us, because no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, we condemn it right now. For this is the heritage of the servants of God. Come on out of that space mentally. Come on out of that space emotionally. Come on out. Them words ain't gonna hurt you no more. I speak into your life words of peace, of comfort, of joy, of love. God loves you just like you are. Let him love you. Oh, that's for somebody. Let him love you. It's unconditional. You ain't got to perform. Let him love you. Let him keep you. Let him guide you to the place where you can be nurtured and fed spiritually so that you can grow. Let him love you. Let him love you. You ain't got to fit in over there. You ain't supposed to. Who am I talking to? I know we gotta go, but I just feel like ministering right now. You're trying to fit in, you're trying to be in, you're trying, and you keep getting rejected. God said, you're not being rejected, you're being directed. You have to understand that is to your demise. He has destiny for your life. That's why he shut the door. You ought to thank him for every shut door right now. Bless these, Lord. I pray somebody heard every word that was coming out of my mouth. One of the greatest ways that the enemy fights us is by keeping us disconnected, isolated, and alone. God never designed for you to live a life of salvation in isolation. He always wanted you to connect to an ecclesia, a local body of believers. He wanted you to be joined to the body, because we need your testimony. We need your gift. We need you in our lives, and you need us in yours. And if God has been speaking to your heart about joining this local body of believers, I want to give you that opportunity right now, right in this moment. And if you're saying, I want to make Kingdom Life Church my church home, my church family, I say to you, I want to be your pastor. I want the job. I'm qualified for it. I am not a novice, and I want to preach to you the uncompromising word of God. So if you're sitting there saying, this is my church, I want you to run down here right now. I want to pray for you. I want to say hi to you. I want to shake your hand and hug your neck. Yeah. 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 Come on, KLC. Come on, KLC. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I wish I had a church that knew how to. Come on, come on. Let's make the devil real mad. Shout out to God. I want to say this to all of you, and I want you to look at me clearly, because it's important. It's important. I want to do this. It is my pleasure to be your pastor. You are not an inconvenience at all. I want God to wake me up in the middle of the night concerning your life. I want to have to dig through scripture to get something out that is going to make you say, was this dude in my living room the other day? I want to speak to your heart. I want to feed you the word of the Lord. I will never use the Bible to manipulate you, ever, ever. The day I do that, leave. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm not perfect, but I try real hard. I love God and I love his people. And my wife and I make that commitment to you that we will serve as your spiritual leaders. And we pray that if you just give us a year, you won't recognize your life. You won't recognize it. You won't recognize it. Your enemies are our enemies. And KLC, let them know. We got your back. Come on, thank God for all of these wonderful people. Welcome to the family. Love you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to this wonderful lady. Her name is Minister Gert. She's going to give you some valuable information about next steps. And I can't wait to meet you. I know some of y'all already. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to learn your names and your families. God bless you. Welcome to the family. Come on, church. Thank God for these people. Come on, KLC. Hallelujah. God is good. All right, closing. In closing announcements, did that word bless you? You get something out of that word? Yeah. God bless you. We love you. Wednesday night, don't forget, first Sunday in August is our communion all-white service. You'll see it all over social media, all that wonderful stuff. God is good. Go be a curse breaker. Leave out of here and say, the buck stops here with me. I'm going to change my whole family. I'm going to change my whole bloodline. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift those hands. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon.